Today I want to talk about memories.
Theologians tell us that who we are is determined by our ability to make choices, our intellect by which we can reason, and our memories. Theologians further tell us that after death, our memories will define us. Erika Braumeister, author of a book called The School of Essential Ingredients, which is sort of an interesting self-reflection cookbook, wrote this about how memories become part of our lives. I am starting to think that maybe memories are like this dessert. I eat it, and it becomes a part of me, whether I remember it later or not. As we age, the joyful memories of what we experience carry us forward in life. Memories of what is hurtful and bad can pull us backward. Memories can hurt. Bad memories can be painful. Yet spiritual author Joseph B. Worthland wrote, "Some memories are unforgettable, remaining ever vivid and heartwarming." Our minds are capable of moving on when bad memories take hold of us. Good memories can sustain us through hard times. Jesus shows us that each of us is capable of becoming closer to God, not all in the same way, but each according as God has given us grace to know more about Him. And we humans know God because we are created to learn and to know through our bodies, our senses, sense of hearing and touch and seeing, but also through our emotions, our memories, and our reasoning skills. We need all of who we are to continue to achieve closer union with God. Therefore, what do we do when in the sadness of life, many of the parts of our lives slide so far away from our center that we start to lose our balance? This is when both prayer and friends are so important. And this is when we need God and we need each other. Oprah Winfrey made a wise statement about who our friends are. She said, "Lots of people want to ride with you in the limo, but what you want is someone who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down." Jesus made a promise, and the promise was to be with us no matter what. In Matthew chapter 28, we learn that when the disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, he told them, "Remember, I am with you always." What I find fascinating and yet comforting in that passage, Matthew tells us that when the disciples saw Jesus after his resurrection, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And aren't we like that? We want to worship Jesus, yet we have doubts. And yet Jesus will be with us when the limo breaks down. So good memories of life will carry us forward in times of doubt. The good memories will bolster us, but bad memories can hold us back. Yet we have to know there is nothing unusual in how we feel or how we think and what our motives are. What becomes unusual is and how we act upon what we feel, think, or our motives. It is what we do that becomes the problem. This is when we need to look closely at our balance. And memories affect our balance. Memories affect our stability in life. We know that the very young live in the present. Try to explain to a 2 or 3 year old what yesterday and tomorrow means, and they are confused. They know only present time. I have my glasses here because just this last week, in the green sheet, in the paper, they quoted Carl Sandburg, author, poet, biographer, and former Milwaukee newspaperman. I didn't know if Carl Sandburg did that. But his comment was this: "Yesterday is done, tomorrow never comes, today is here. If you don't know what to do with it, sit still and listen." So eventually, as we grow older, we get a sense of time. But unfortunately, say for the teenage years, there's a tendency to spend a lot of time looking to the future. A 15-year-old desperately wants to be 16 to be able to drive a car. A senior in high school can't wait to get to college. A senior in college normally can't wait to get into a job. It has been said that the curse of all of us, and I noticed this in myself, is that we don't live solely in the present. Rather, we live simultaneously in the past and the future. This is who we are. But if we spend more time thinking about the future, or in the alternative, spend more time thinking about the past, then we're not in balance. While normal is difficult to define, normal is to try to live in the present. So back to memories. Every so often, it may be that our memories need healing to bring us back into balance. Jesus' life, as you well know, was one of healing. He healed the sickness of bodies, and forgiving sins, he healed not only sins, but with that, both memories and souls. As mentioned before, memory is crucial. It's vital to our existence. It's who we are. If we take away memory, we have amnesia. And a disease of memory is Alzheimer's. Without memory, we cannot function. We cannot find our way around streets, remember our family and close friends, work, and on and on and on. Sometimes, however, we get overly concerned and preoccupied about temporary loss of memory, as when we cannot recall something or somebody's name. Some years ago, I had to take an educational psychology course. The instructor told us not to be overly concerned about if we cannot remember something. His reasoning was this, and I found it true with my daughter and now with my grandchildren. So if Opal or Eddie are playing, but especially if they take Opal, and I tell her in a couple of minutes to go clean up her room, clean up the toys. And then I ask her about 10 minutes later, have you done this? And she said, oh, I forgot. And she's honest about it, I forgot. And we dismiss this because this is a young child preoccupied with play. But if the same thing happens to you and I as adults, then with all of our memories, with all of our worries and concerns and everything else that we have in our brains, then we jump to the conclusion that we're losing our memories. And my professor's comment in that educational psychology course is that everyone forgets. It is human. And he suggested that if we want to remember something, do two things. First, write it down. And second, make as many connections to other things in our memory as we possibly can, and that'll help the recall. And he told us the more connections we can make, the better will be our memory. But he said, regardless, don't worry about it. It's not important. Write it down. Back to the healing of memories. Our memories offer us so much joy. We remember birthday parties, the sharing of love, the beauty of nature, sunrises and sunsets, travels we have made, people we have known, books we have read, and movies we have seen. But memories also give us the sadness of death, of loss, of hurt, of tragedy. Bad memories can be like cuts to a major artery with a knife. There are memories which lead to uncontrollable fear, memories which lead to paralysis, paralysis in love, and anxiety. There are memories which prevent us from reaching out to God. There are memories which prevent us from reaching out to people. Why? So we will not be hurt yet again. Bad memories can lead to excessive worry about the future. Memories can also lead us into a panic state. We can have a dread of a certain memory. And some memories are so horrific that even now, for many people, there's a change in blood pressure, a tightness in chest, and a sense of panic, of utter panic. I've attended crisis management courses, classes where they say, for example, police officers who have shot someone in complete self-defense will relive that experience, and when they do, they sweat, their blood pressure rises, and with their eyes closed, they cannot just see what happened, they can smell the gunpowder. This PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, affects military personnel, EMTs, other emergency room physicians and staff. It happens to victims of sexual assault and other bodily crimes, and people who have survived horrific car crashes and airplane crashes. They not only remember the event, but the smell, the sounds, and the pain. Therefore, in the totality of our humanness, we thank God for our good and great memories, but we also pray to God to help us heal those memories which prevent us to function well in all aspects of our lives. The memories of anger, the memories of unpleasantness, those of violence, those which make us uneasy, and the memories which we would rather not call up and relive. Just as bones can be fractured, so our memories can also cause us to be fractured. We all know that medical providers that tell us that a blockage in our bloodstream will lead to a stroke or a heart attack. And in almost the same way, a block caused by an injurious memory can lead to an emotional stroke or an emotional attack. In our bodies, we cleanse our bloodstream of a blockage by exercise, aspirin, possibly stronger medication, and even surgery. When we have difficulty with bad memories, they also cause us to be off-center. Too many bad memories, or even one horrific memory, can throw us off balance. So how do we clear our mind of bad memory? First, we must recognize the bad memory is present. Pull it up. See it for what it is. We must accept that it's causing us harm. It is then that we can determine how to diminish its effect on our lives so we can live a full life. A full life is the kind of life that Jesus wants us to live because he wants us to have joy and union with him and his Father. Our job in life is to seek completeness, fullness. This is why the gospel records over and over again that when Jesus healed a person, he also forgave their memories, their sins. I am sure that the Pharisees not only were aghast at his forgiving sins, but eventually realized that when sins are forgiven, so are the memories which block the hearts and the minds and the souls of the person of the people healed. For example, in Matthew's gospel in chapter 9, Jesus not only healed a paralyzed man lying on a bed, but also told him his sins were forgiven. Now, Jesus has told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. As the way, Jesus wants us to follow him, and when we do so, he promises to bring us life in its fullness. As followers of Christ, we are to continually seek that fullness, that wholeness, which Jesus tells us we can achieve in, with, and with him. We will never achieve perfection in this life, but if we can remain somewhat centered without falling over, we're doing our human best. In essence, what Jesus is probably trying to tell us as we humanly struggle to follow him is to remember the good Jamaican statement, "No problem, man." One of the wisdom books of the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, and you've heard this passage over and over again, so I summarize it. To everything, there's a season, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to heal, a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. There's also a time to lose and a time to keep and a time to cast away. It is in casting away and losing bad memories that healing will take place. In history, we have seen that people forget that God also wants us to laugh and dance and keep our great and good memories. Those are the times we remember and we rejoice in, for God created us to enjoy life. We know that Jesus enjoyed life. He loved to eat and drink wine and mingle with people. In Luke's gospel, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him, and Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and took his table. A notorious woman then learned that Jesus was there, eating in the Pharisee's house. So she brought an alabaster jar of ointment and began to bathe Jesus' feet with her hair. Jesus then announced to her that her sins were forgiven, and then he added this, "Now go in peace." The bad memories of her sins were gone, and Jesus' assurance of peace and pardon in her soul. What is clear is that Jesus knows we are human. This is so obvious. Thousands of years ago, the psalmist knew this because the psalmist prayed that the Lord knows us. God knows us when we sit while watching TV in the evening and when we rise in the morning. The Lord is aware of our thinking, so much so that he even knows what we're going to say before we say it. The ancient psalmist clearly realized we can't run away from God. But the psalmist also clearly realized that God's hand is always there to help us. Boldly, boldly, the psalmist asked God something we may not even want to ask God. The psalmist asked God to search him and invited God to know his heart and even to test him and his thoughts. I wonder whether I really want to do that. would you? So then, why did the psalmist pray that so boldly? The psalmist says so because he said, I want God to lead me in the way of life everlasting. And isn't that our goal also? In healing our memories, Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. In it, he told us to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness from our debts, our trespasses, our wrongs, our sins, our rudeness, our breach of ethics, our breach of morals, our betrayals. And we do so, as Jesus told us to do, by forgiving others. And this is one way of asking God to forgive our memories and our sins. By the way, additionally, in the Lord's Prayer, we also pray that we not be led into temptation, but to be delivered from evil. Certain memories can lead us into temptation, and certain memories can take us directly into the path of evil. What Jesus is asking us is to pray for is the ability to let many things go. This is awesome theology. It is practical psychology. It is reality. Amen.